We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Joe Beningo and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe, on WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no, gotta go to Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM, Joe and Evan.
All right, 203 on the Fan and a very good Monday afternoon to you. Beningo and Roberts in the afternoon, 877-337-6666 is the phone number here till 6 o'clock. JJ, John Jastrzemski's Odds On Sports Show will come your way. Let's see, we got Dove Kramer. Who is it? I believe it's Dove Kramer back in the shop in Manhattan. Ernie Acosta, he's in Yonkers. We're live from the Town Fair Tire studio where nobody on top of that beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody, bro, how are you?
Bro, I'm fantastic. Was there ever a moment?
No.
Ever a moment for like a second?
Yeah, I guess I did. You know what? There was a moment yesterday when, you know, especially for knockout pool purposes, when I was thinking long and hard about, you know, the Jets possibly pulling off this victory yesterday against the Buffalo team that, let's be honest, was saying, here, Jets, win the game.
Oh, yes.
Let's be honest about that, too.
100%. 100%. The Buffalo Bills were begging the Jets to take this football game.
Take it.
Please, take the game.
Yep.
And
yep.
I got to tell you, early in this game, there were a lot of things that I got to admit made me smile. You know, seeing LaMichael P. Ryan, you know, with his 5-yard touchdown run and being involved in the offense and seeing Denzel Mims does exist,
you know?
Even, you know, I think it was his first catch. It was only for 4 or 5 yards, but I got excited. I was like, all right, great.
I know.
He lives. Yeah. He's here. There was never a second where I thought they would win this game. And because the thing I had in my head, it turned out to be true, was this coaching staff is so terrible that the Buffalo Bills will eventually make adjustments, and it's very unlikely the Jets will be able to adjust back. And that's essentially what happened. Now, I didn't think it was going to be as extreme as it was, where they end up with 4 yards in the second half.
Which is almost impossible.
It really is.
But it is the Jets, so, you know.
Well, the 2020 Jets, Joe, are proving to all of us nothing is impossible.
Except a win.
Except that's the one thing.
That's the one thing that looks like it's going to be impossible.
Right.
No, look, I mean, there's so many things. Look, in the first half, they had 3 trips inside the red zone. 3. They wound up with 10 points. That first drive, they go right down the field. They look like a world beater. You're getting all pumped up. And then, to me, this is the play calling. You know, you're running the ball effectively against this Buffalo team. We saw Kansas City run the ball down Buffalo's throat last week. I mean, just, you know, you're running effectively. Gore looked good. P. Ryan had a couple runs. So you get a first down on about, I don't know where they were, inside the 20, wherever they were. And the first play, instead of running again, okay, let's run again here, is a play-action pass that Buffalo looked like they were waiting for. They sacked Sam Donald, and that killed the drive. They wind up having to settle for a field goal. Then on the second drive, they go down the field again. They're up 3-0. You're all pumped up. You know, Mims has that nice catch for about nine yards. Now it's 4th-and-1. Of course you're going for it. That's not even a thought.
Totally with him.
And the play call was, I mean, come on. You run Perine straight into the middle of the line. That's the time I need to see maybe a little creative stuff there. Maybe you, that's when you try to throw a pass on a play fake. And how about the, and this could get me so ticked yesterday too, bro. Their offense, okay, Sam Darnold didn't try one run. Why is Sam, why are there not designed runs for Sam Darnold? It makes me crazy, bro. It really does.
Yeah, I only wonder if the health could be a part of that reason.
I'm tired of hearing it. The health. I mean, guy.
No, I'm trying to answer it for you because I agree. I mean, in this day and age, you know, we live in an era in which most quarterbacks can run effectively. You know, we've seen it on the other side with Daniel Jones, and you want to use that as a weapon. You know, part of Josh Allen's success is the plays that he can make with his legs.
Of course.
That's a big part of his success.
Of course. Not to mention other guys, Daniel Jones. I mean, we could go on and on.
Dude, it's a long list. It's almost everybody outside of a few old school guys. You know, Tom Brady. You could count them on one hand.
Right. Philip Rivers. He's not doing too much running. You're right.
Right.
Drew Brees isn't running too much. 100% right.
So I agree. You have to use those skill sets to your advantage. But I do wonder if that's a part of why there was zero designed runs for Sam in this
game.
And what I hated about the 4th-and-1 call, because I think we all agree, of course, 3-0, you got to go for it.
Oh, no, you're going for it. Yeah, I would have been nuts if he kicked a field goal there.
No, it would have been terrible. Would have been terrible. You definitely go for it. But your call, you need 1 yard. You've got Sam in the shotgun, first of all.
Right.
And then you're running it to LaMichael Perine. It wasn't the best kind of play call. If you're going to run on 4th-and-1, get him out of the gun. Put him under center.
Right.
You know, so
right.
I didn't like that at all either. But look, they made plays on defense. I mean, how about Terrell Basham's strip sack where
tremendous.
Buffalo's marching down the field? It looks they're actually going to take the lead.
Right.
And they actually offensively took advantage of it because that's when they marched down the field and scored a touchdown. And they were helped out by a couple of Buffalo penalties.
Yeah, a couple pass interference calls. Yeah, Buffalo, like I said, what do they have, 11 penalties for over 100 yards yesterday?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They committed 11 penalties in this game, and a lot of them were significant. I mean, they had two pass interference calls on that drive that the Jets took advantage of to go up 10-0.
And even gave the Jets a shot on that last drive with that terrible, Micah Hyde basically wiping out Breshad Perriman, which was the only first down they had the whole half. Was there another one?
You ready for
did
this?
Did I miss it?
You missed one first down, but it's easy to forget. When they got the football back after Tyler Bass hit a field goal on the opening drive of the second half, the first play the Jets ran in the second half was a 13-yard run by Frank Gore.
It's
easy to forget that because then they went 3 and out after it.
Right.
You know, Berrios had this brutal drop on third down.
Oh, my God. And Sam, the best pass he threw the whole half. He put the ball, he basically handed the ball to Berrios, and he couldn't control it going down. I guess it might have been knocked out of his hands, but you got to catch the ball there.
Yeah, you have to catch it. And that short-circuited that drive, and then after that, I mean.
Well, you had the Becton penalty, which was just. And look, Becton's good. And although the offensive line was a horror show yesterday, which it pretty much is. But, I mean, that penalty on Becton, and it's such an inexcusable penalty. It's not like it was even a holding penalty.
No.
Where, okay, maybe there's a gray area. You got a bad holding call. No, this was he wasn't lined up on the line.
Illegal
formation. It had no effect on the play at all. And
no,
it was a huge first down. Herndon first down. Who knows? Horrible.
He ruined a holiday I didn't even know existed. He ruined National Tight End Day.
National Tight End Day as per George Kittle. That's
yes.
Right.
Yeah, and so Chris Herndon, who did nothing in this game.
Nothing, except
I guess
that.
You know what? Let me compliment Chris Herndon. He didn't have any drops or fumbles in this
game.
That
is true.
So you know what?
That's a great point.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
Because I tweeted out early in the morning, they asked, how are you going to celebrate National Tight Ends Day? And I said, I'm going to watch Chris Herndon fumble and drop footballs. That's what I'm going to do.
There you go.
He didn't do any of that.
Right.
But look, let me say this about Mekhi Becton, because he did allow two sacks, and he did commit two penalties, if memory serves correct.
Yes.
You just mentioned the illegal formation.
Yep.
With all of that said, this guy's going to be good. And you could tell. You know, despite having a rocky day, because it was kind of rocky. You allow two sacks, you commit two penalties, it's not a great day.
The whole offensive line, rocky is being kind to what the jailbreak in the second half.
Well, you know what I mean? The thing, though, about this offensive line, George Fant may not be long for the world as part of the Jet offensive line. You know?
That could be said maybe for everybody that's not named Becton.
I agree. Oh, no, absolutely. That's what I'm thinking. At least, though, because you could tell this guy is going to be here for a while. If he could stay healthy, that's probably going to be his biggest issue, is staying healthy. He is going to be a building block for this team for the next, hopefully, decade. I mean, I do have confidence in Mekhi Becton. So despite a day in which it wasn't his best day when it comes to penalties and allowing sacks, I think this guy's going to be really good. I think Joe Douglas will have gotten this one right. I do believe that.
Well, I mean, look, I mean, for all the yelling I've done about the draft, I mean, you certainly saw where Mims and Perrine, Perrine, can really be good players. And the other guy that stood out to me yesterday, and I do not want to hear again a thought of trading this guy, is Quinnen Williams. Mm. I mean, Quinnen Williams made some plays yesterday, including a huge play to keep the Jets in the game. I think it was – was it 12-10 at that point? And he stopped a big third down on his – I guess it was a sack on third down to hold them to yet another field goal. I thought Quinnen Williams really played well yesterday. I mean, he is a keeper, and I don't want to hear that they're thinking about trade, because I heard that, and I'm like, what are we kidding ourselves?
Well, you have to build around something.
Of course.
I mean, there needs to be –
And he looks like he's fine. Look, maybe he's becoming a player, this guy. I mean, they're going to get rid of him? What?
No, he is a reminder – and this is for us as Jet fans, for Giant fans listening to, that as much as we want to react to a rookie in year one, you do have to give it good time.
You do.
He looks like a completely different player looked like in year one.
Right.
And look, I give the defense a lot of credit. I mean, you talk about bend but don't break. They did not break.
Yeah.
I mean, they forced Buffalo to have to try how many field goals in this game? And actually, they missed two of them. Bass actually missed two of them in this game.
Yeah, eight field goals they tried in the game. They did get a touchdown call back. I think that was also on a illegal shift, wasn't it? The touchdown they got called back in the second half, Buffalo?
I think that was an illegal shift as well.
I think
it was an illegal formation, right. Before they went up 12-10. Yep. Look, the Buffalo Bills did not play an inspiring game here.
Bro, if they played any decent team, if they played any team that's a professional NFL football team yesterday, they would have lost. They played, I mean, let's be honest, they would have lost this football game, and if the Jets had any kind of competent offense, they should have been up 21-0 in the first half.
Oh, absolutely.
Minimum 17-0.
That's why, you know, a big deal was made early on that Adam Gase gave up the play calling. Well, if Adam Gase isn't calling what use does Adam Gase have now coaching this football team?
He has none.
He was supposed to be, the way it was sold to me and you and every football fan out there, and this is a quote from the brilliant owner, he is coaching offense to where it's going. That's what we were told about Adam Gase.
Right.
Now, he's not even good enough to call plays for this team. And I'll tell you, in the second half, I thought he was calling the plays again. Because brutal to watch in the second half of this game.
And I'll tell you something else, and I got to say this too. You know what? I mean, let's be honest. And again, the quarterback yesterday showed you why there's no question you're taking Trevor Lawrence with the first pick. I'm sorry. I mean, look, he looked pretty good at times in the first half. He made some good throws. That 3rd-and-20 throw to Berrios, I mean, you brought it up already. He made that other throw in the second half to Berrios, which was right on the money. He dropped it. But that interception before halftime.
Oh.
When the Jets are driving, it's 10-3. You got a chance to at least get another field goal before halftime. Really put yourself in decent shape. And he throws this pass to nowhere. I mean, there were three Bills in the area. And I think I saw the foot of whoever the Jet receiver was. And there were three Bills in it. And it was like a lot. I mean, the ball looked like it was – he almost looked like he got his arm hit, but he didn't. It was just a hard – I mean, these are the things that this is why Sam Darnold is showing you he's probably not the guy.
Look, and he's not the guy for a myriad of reasons. Part of it is him. A big part of it is the coaching.
Right, of course.
A huge part of it is, as you said, the jailbreak with this offensive line.
Oh, my God.
And a big part of it is the utter lack of weapons that he has. And when you add all of that together, of it, and it includes Sam, the coach, the everything. You add all that together, and you've got this mess that we're watching right now.
I still believe
in a different environment, with a different coaching staff, with better weapons, better offensive line. I think he will be a very capable quarterback in the National Football League.
Right.
But he has been put in a situation in which he has been set up to fail in a major way.
That's
not exonerating him, because you're right. That interception at the end of the first half is unacceptable. And that's the stuff that cannot happen with a third-year quarterback.
No question about
it. So if you're trying to sit out there right now and diagnose what happened to Sam Darnold, it's a very easy answer. It ain't that complicated. It's called all of the above. That's what happened to Sam Darnold. Everything. Him, the weapons, the line, the coach, you name it. That's where we're in the position we're in right now watching this guy play quarterback.
Yeah. No, yeah. Hey, look, that's it. That's exactly. And the second half, just, I mean, it just, it's unbelievable. And they were in the game the whole, and that's what made it even more exasperating, bro. They're in this game. This was a one-score game right to the end.
Well,
right to the end. This is right until Jerry Hughes gets that tip ball interception. They are in this football game.
I got to admit it to you. It's never happened before. It happened yesterday. I've never had this feeling before, but it happened. It naturally was in my stomach. I didn't want to win this game. I felt that.
I
did not want to win this game because I see the reality and I see the future. And there is no benefit anymore to winning any games.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of years ago, and we were on the side of I don't believe in tanking. Remember when they went into the season, they had an over-under of 3.5.
Yeah, that's the year they went 5-11, and everybody was giving them Todd Bowles should be coach of the year because they won five games.
Right. Absolutely. That was the kind of year in which, going into the season, guys like Ernie, our fine producer, Brandon Tierney, who does a great job on the network, they all wanted to lose. They all wanted to tank. I don't believe in tanking. I don't believe going into a season I'm going to root against my team. And when the Jets beat the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland, and they were a 3-2 team, I remember saying, hey, see, this is why you don't root against your team. They're 3-2. Now, we know what ended up happening. It was a disaster after that. I get that. Other than that Thursday night at home against the Bills, the dancing game, as I like to call it. Remember when they were dancing?
Didn't you go to that? I was at that
game.
Did you go? You were there too, right?
Yeah, I was there that night.
Yeah, no, they danced. That was the game that I won the over-under, because the over-under was 3.5.
That's right.
It was like about a 65-degree night in early, I think it was early November, right?
Something like that. Yep.
It was a beautiful night, and that's the night that I cashed in that night.
You did cash in, and the Jets, after that win, moved to 4-5.
Right.
So in a year in which they were supposed to be...
And then he went to Tampa and mailed it in, and that was the end of the year.
Look, it was a disaster after that. We all know how it ended. They only won five games. They ended up with the quarterback they were supposedly tanking for anyway.
But I was never
a believer 2 weeks into the season, I'm going to sit there rooting against my own team. I can't do it. But yesterday, as I'm sitting there, you know, in the fourth quarter of this game, as it's 15-10, I'm just having lots of thoughts. Like, hey, well, what's this team going to look like next year? What's going to happen? And it just didn't serve any benefit as a fan. And I love my team. I never root against my own team. But I'm sitting there saying, what benefit is there to winning?
I totally get it. And the best thing that could happen to them is lose out, you know, get the first pick in the draft, take Trevor Lawrence. First thing I have to do is get a coach. I mean, before Trevor Lawrence, the coach has to be gotten, and they got to get this one right. You know, Joe Douglas, you know, for all the things he may do, his drafts, free agency, the thing that he needs to do more than anything is get this head coach right coming up. Let me tell you.
1,000%.
1,000%.
The other thing that I found myself doing, and I'll do this for the rest of the season, is rooting and enjoying for young players to succeed so that you do have pieces to build around.
Yep.
So I'm sitting there, I want Denzel Mims to catch a 75-yard touchdown pass.
Yep.
I want to see Quinn and Williams destroy quarterbacks, you know, in a football sense. I want to see all that kind of stuff.
Well, that was the one thing you took out of yesterday. What you took out of yesterday was what you just said. It looks like Pirine looks like he could be a player. It looks like Mims might be a player. We know Becton already, even though it wasn't a good day for him. And Quinn and Williams certainly looks like they got something now with Quinn and Williams.
Yeah.
No question about that.
And that's the positive.
You got to take out of this game.
That's the positive you take. But, you know, in the NBA, I would never root against my own team because it's a lottery. Like, it's just lottery balls. I mean, like, just because you finish with the worst record, as you certainly know, doesn't guarantee you anything.
Right.
In this sport, obviously, if you finish with the worst record, you are guaranteed something.
That's it.
And as I'm sitting there watching this football game, I just kept thinking, okay, let's say they win. Let's say they pull this out. What the hell is that really going to do?
Yeah.
Am I going to feel that much better on my Sunday night? Like, am I going to really feel good as I'm watching the World Series thinking, my team's 1-6, baby? No. So it was one of the first times in my life, maybe ever, that I actually sat there in the fourth quarter saying, lose the game. Just lose, man.
Well, I had the knockout pool in mind because I'm sure that a lot of people took Buffalo.
I get it.
But of course, but you're 100% right, bro. I mean, look, I still think they can win a game, maybe two. I mean, you want to tell me, you know, Jacksonville. I mean, forget about Washington. Maybe the Cowboys are the team more so than anybody in the NFC East.
Crazy.
You know? Right? I mean, you want to give me those teams? I mean, I don't know. I mean, who's that team? Atlanta? Well, how about Atlanta?
Oh.
we'll get to that game. But, I mean, you talk – if I'm a Falcon fan, how do I live if I'm a Falcon fan? With the way – the creative, new and creative ways that they have found to hand football games away, it's mind-boggling.
Well, the thing about Atlanta, and I've never experienced this to this extent, was the Super Bowl. Like, that is a day and a moment – that you will never, ever get over until you go back to that game and win a championship. And right now, they're a million miles away.
But you know what's funny about that Super Bowl? This is exactly what they continue to do.
No, I know. They don't learn from the mistakes.
They continue to hand games away. I mean, what are they, 1-6 Atlanta?
Yeah.
Every game, basically, they've lost this year was similar to how they lost yesterday.
No, it's crazy.
I've never seen anything like it.
But it's a part of why I look at Atlanta and say they're going to win a couple of games.
Right.
Because they have been
they got talent on it.
They've got talent, and they should be. I know it's not really fair to say they should be 4-3, but they could be 4-3
easily.
They just find these incredible ways to lose. But one thing about the Jets getting a win, and we talked about this on the phone earlier, and it's kind of hilarious to think about, the most realistic wins on the Jets schedule right now in this moment
feel mind-boggling.
Like the New England Patriots.
That's what it is?
Yeah.
That's their best shot to win a game right now is the absolutely horror show that is the New England Patriots. And watching that game yesterday as the San Francisco 49ers just imposed their will on the Patriots.
Incredible.
Was really unbelievable. Exactly what the Niners did.
We'll certainly discuss that and the rest of Week 7 in the National Football League. Carl Banks will join us. His thoughts on the state of the NFC East, which got more hilariously bad yesterday as Dallas got
Giants
blown out.
Giants picked up ground. They picked up ground again.
They did. What wasn't hilarious is poor Andy Dalton.
Oh, my God.
That was brutal. But the Cowboys.
Who's the guy that came in? Dino Vannelli? Who is it? Gino Vannucci? Who was the guy that came in?
I had to look him up. He went to James Madison, apparently.
James Madison, right.
Yeah. We'll get to the rest of Week 7 in the NFL, and because we are fair, we have to spend a few minutes on the local football team that deserves all the praise in the world. We are talking about the undefeated, you can't stop them, Scarlet Knights of Rutgers.
Oh, my God. Greg Schiano, coach of the year now. He already won. He already got the coach of the year.
He's wrapped it up.
And they get and they're getting points at home this week against Indiana. Indiana had that crazy win against
Indiana.
Penn State.
How about them? We got to talk about that game, too.
Yep.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.